Have you ever had to reinvent yourself? I mean, really start over. You quit a job, you lost a job, you started a new company, whatever, but you had to come up with a new way of doing your work life. If you have, or if you're in the process of doing that, you'll relate to what I'm about to tell next, because I am going to share my story of reinvention. Saddle up, people, because it's about to get real interesting here on 8 Second Rule. This is 8 Second Rule, the podcast about attention-based marketing, where we talk about getting, holding on to, and developing the attention of your ideal audience. You've got 8 seconds. What are you going to do with it? Hey, I am Mark R. Morris, Jr., the bull rider of semantic branding. Finally came up with a term that I like, and this means branding through the use of content and words. So I am a copywriter, I am a blogger, I am a book ghostwriter, and I do it all in the name of creating brands for people and companies online. So if you're interested in semantic branding, you can look me up. If you'd like to know why I call myself the bull rider of semantic branding, you can check out my LinkedIn page at markrmorrisjr.com, and I'll be happy to share that with you. But it's all about cowboys and how long they have to stay on a bull in order to score. And it's about the research that shows that you have a maximum of 8 seconds to catch people's attention in any online platform. So that's what we talk about here. And today I am going to share about reinventing myself and my entrepreneurial journey. Now, this will be directly related back in some ways to attention-based marketing and semantic branding, but not all of it. I just want to share the story, and I think that this audience will really appreciate it. You guys have asked questions about it before. So with no further ado, I'm going to launch into the first chapter of my solopreneur journey, my self-made-ish solopreneur journey, part one. So I originally launched this story as a series of articles on LinkedIn, and it kind of came from this one conversation that I had with a young lady who was less than impressed, with what I had managed to accomplish in life. And so what she said to me, it was no offense, but I hear this kind of story from older white males all the time. So in other words, this person, with all 25 years on the planet, had it all figured out, and I was mansplaining the 21st century from a position of complete ignorance and white privilege. So why did I get this response? It was a comment suggesting that no one has to accept a job based on money. There are other ways. And she felt I didn't understand the harsh realities of her world. Maybe so, but I do know a little bit about some things. I have worked without a safety net for 25 years. No employer, no paycheck, no venture capital, no backup plan. And I started down this path with less than 20 bucks in my pocket. So yeah, maybe the fact that I have a white face and I'm a dude helped, but I gotta tell you guys, I was facing an uphill battle the whole way. And at the time that I did this, people, I already had a wife and a child and a second child on the way. And I had to reinvent myself at least 3 times with zero capital. I have never been homeless. I have never been hungry. And I don't believe that this is just because I'm a Caucasian man. And I also don't think that I'm that special, okay? So I'm just going to tell my story and then you can decide for yourself. All right? But before I do, I just got to get something off my chest. There seems to be some reverse understanding of the law of supply and demand right now at work in the world. It goes something like this. I have a demand to earn enough to pay all of my bills without inventing, creating, or risking anything. I demand that I be able to contract with an employer to pay me enough to make this happen just for showing up. And I believe that the world is broken because it won't supply this for me. I don't know what to tell anybody in this audience, but that is not how it works now. That is not how it has ever worked. It seems to suggest that the world is uniquely broken here, almost a quarter of the way into the 21st century, But in reality, history teaches us that earning money has literally, in all of human history, never been as easy as it is right now. In fact, I sit right here right now. I've earned almost six figures in the past year for work that never made me leave my house. I mean, that's what I'm going to start with, is that proposition right there. So how did I start out? When I was about 25 years old, I worked in a cabinet shop. I felt uniquely undervalued for my contribution as well. I really did. I thought that, you know, they were taking advantage of me. Here is what I knew from experience. People have money. They will spend that money on things and services they need and want. They will give you that money if you meet one or more of those needs or wants in a way that makes them happy. I already knew this because I'd started several small businesses. I'd learned it going door to door, building a small landscape company with my brother. At 13, I'd learned it running a lemonade stand. Earlier than that, painting addresses on curbs. It was simple, and it still is, okay? You have to provide a solution to something. Now, I'm in this cabinet shop, and I've been building these huge store fixtures for brands like Ralph Lauren and Tommy Hilfiger. And I'm just a cog in a giant machine. There's over 200 carpenters in this massive warehouse. And the more I talked to them about their experiences in the outside world, the more I realized that I could build simple things like decks and fences for three times at least what I was making there. So I quit. Here's what I did next. I'm going to tell you in the next segment. All right. So I decided it was time to get out. I didn't have any tools. I didn't have much experience. I didn't have any capital. But here's what I did have. I had $7 and a PC with an ancient version of a design program. I think it was probably PageMaker. And enough carpentry and research skills to learn the rest of it. And I had a lot of confidence. I mean, I was not short on that. So I went home. I designed a flyer. I took the $7 to Kinko's. For you kids in the audience, that's now the FedEx store. And I had them make 200 copies because nobody really had flatbed copier scanners back in the day. So you had to go and actually have this done. Here's what my flyer said. On the mark handyman service. Clever, right? If it's broken, busted, loose, or rusted, if it's cracked or split or just won't fit, if it won't stay closed or refuses to open, I can fix it. I can repair, refurbish, replace, or repaint it. No job too big or small. And it had my phone number. And the original version of this, guys, had a beaver, a clip art beaver in overalls with a hammer. Tink, tink, tink. Clever, right? So what was my brilliant business plan? This was my plan, one that I'd worked before as I was a kid. I was going to distribute these flyers into an appropriate neighborhood, and then I was going to go home and answer calls. So, where was I? I didn't have a full week's expenses. I didn't have the tools or the materials to do any of these jobs. I didn't have enough experience to even make the claims that I was making. I lacked capital. And I didn't even have a cell phone, okay? So I went out and I spent hours handing out these flyers, and I went home and I sat by my landline, push button phone, right? And within a couple of hours, I had a call. And the man says, can you build a fence? Well, I'd helped build a fence once, but I didn't tell him that. I'd been building and designing theatrical scenery. I had worked in two different cabinet shops over 3 years. I'd built a lot of my own wooden furniture. How hard could it be, right? So I took $20 out of the dwindling grocery money for my wife, and I went to Home Depot to buy the Home Depot Guide for Outdoor Projects. This was a thick book that came, it was like my YouTube, which didn't actually even exist for another 9 years. We were still on dial-up. We were on AOL, okay? So I had scheduled the appointment to measure and bid the fence for the next day. I needed to know exactly how fences were built before 9 a.m. because that's when I was meeting this guy. So I studied everything that the book had to say. Then I went to the library. Oh yeah, Google wouldn't be a thing for two more years. So I had to make sure that what this book was saying to me was accurate. By the time 9 a.m. the next morning rolled around, I knew I could answer questions that the customer might have. I still didn't have a saw to cut the massive 12-inch wide pickets he wanted because it was a specialty fence. I didn't have a post hole digger. I didn't have a sledgehammer to break the old fence posts out of their concrete Mo-strip foundation. I didn't have a single clue how I would finish 400 feet of 8-foot tall board-on-board fence by myself. And you know what I did? I walked out with a deposit check. This is how I funded my first job. This is the absolute key if you are in the zero startup business. You got to get your first job and you have to take a deposit. It's called customer funds startup or bootstrapping, okay? Now, I'd done enough things as a kid to know you always get a deposit. In this case, I'd been bold. By asking around the cabinet shop, I gotten this advice from them, okay? Take your materials plus half of your labor up front. If it's more than a couple of $1,000s, take the labor in installments at agreed upon milestones, but get the materials and some of the labor up front. So I did. I just told the man that's how it was. And I acted as if I had done it 1,000 times before. And he kind of looked at me sideways, but he went with it. So I went, I cashed the check, I ordered the materials, I bought the tools I needed. I already knew how to use them. Okay. Now, to be fair, I'm probably not giving myself enough credit for what I'd been trained to do. And then I showed up the next day with brand new tools to wait for material to be delivered. Now, if this guy had recognized there was not a speck of dust on my saw, there was not a speck of any kind of paint or anything on my circular saw, on my miter saw, on my nailer, he probably would have just looked at me and been like, you know what? You need to take all that crap back and bring me my money. So while I was waiting for the material to be delivered, I started tearing out the old fence, which I thought this is going to be an easy job. It's not going to be a problem. That took 4 days. Okay. So by the time I got to building, I was completely out of the money that I had gotten because I'd spent it on tools and material and lunch, probably, and gas to get there. But I knew that at the end of the week, I had to either hit the milestone, get to the point, you know, that we had decided that next payment was coming, or face begging someone to help me eat and feed my wife. That was my reality. She did work part-time, but our plan at the time, as was the case for a lot of families, especially, you know, in the 90s and prior to that, was for her to stay home. This was her choice. I never insisted on this. That's what she wanted to do. So I worked and I worked and I worked, and 15 minutes before it got pitch dark on the last day of the week, I hit my goal. All right. I had calluses, splinters, aches and pains, but I took that check from my first milestone and I didn't ever look back. It took me 6 weeks to finish the fence. By the time it was over, I was glad that I'd bid as much as I had. It was a $7,000 fence, people. And much less than half of that ended up being labor by the time it was all said and done, because I completely miscalculated the materials. It was still more money than I had ever made. And it had seemed way too much in the beginning, but the formula that I'd been given for estimating things that I didn't know well enough to just price was material times 2 for labor plus materials plus 20% for errors and roadblocks. And it worked perfectly. I was done. I moved on to the next job. All from that first stack of flyers, I had enough to keep me busy for that entire summer. When I got to the last job that I had scheduled, I made more flyers and got more customers. I earned more than triple my former wages at the cabinet shop that summer. All from that. I'll tell you some more in just a minute. So before I wrap this episode up, I don't want to make it seem like I have just always walked in and success has followed, because that is absolutely not true. And if you stick with me, I'm going to produce a series here It's about 8 pieces, I think. So probably the rest of this season is going to be wrapped up in this. And then you're going to see where my failures lie and what happened. Because while I was a hard worker and a really smart guy, I was not that good at managing money. And I was not that great of a businessman. I just had a lot of determination and grit. And I just decided to do things. So if you decide you want to do this, what exactly stands between you and success? Okay, for a lot of you right now, you're still sitting there and you're wondering what's going to happen with the extended unemployment. Maybe your company shut down completely. Maybe you're looking at getting into a new line of work. Maybe you're waiting until COVID is over to try and explore that because you've got enough savings to last another 6 months. I don't know what position you're in, but if you're looking to reinvent yourself, I just want to tell you some things that I hope will encourage you and make you willing to actually step out and take the step. All right, listen, first of all, you are stronger than you think. You are stronger than you think. I want you, if you don't believe that, think back on all of the things that you've survived. I'm talking about the death of your parents. I'm talking about a horrible accident. I'm talking about a sickness. I'm talking about getting through school. I'm talking about surviving bullying. I'm talking about whatever it is in your life that made you struggle. And you're still standing because you have survived everything that has come up until this point. Every single bit of it, no matter how dark it seemed when you walked into it, you survived. You walked out of it. Okay? And you have more agency in your own life than you believe. But you have to take it. Okay? It's easy to let other people make you believe that the system is the only way and there's this gate and there's this code and you have to get in through a secret handshake. But I'll just tell you right now, I never played by those rules. Not one time. And to be honest, if I wasn't so lazy, I could have made a lot more money. I just didn't want to work 70 hours a week to get things started and have 7 employees. I could have started a construction company and learned how to do that. I was good enough. I could have done it. That's just not what I chose to do. Now, the next thing is that nobody owes you anything more than what you agree to work for. You have to remember this. Now, this is going to be tough for some of you who are younger, but listen, if you step onto a job site and you say, I will do this for 15 bucks an hour, I will do this for 20 bucks an hour, I will do this for 10 bucks an hour, then you've agreed to work for that price and you have no complaint against that employer if they do not violate the terms of your agreement. Okay? So make sure that you know what you're agreeing to, because you never are owed any more than that, ever. And listen to me when I say this right here. There are always other opportunities, even right now. And I will show you where you can find some of them later in this series. But you cannot believe that the job you've got is the only one for you. That's just not true. It is almost never true. Okay? And if for some reason you fall into that little niche where you're in the 4% that maybe have this situation, and because of your geographical location, your lack of experience, your lack of physical prowess, whatever it is that keeps you and makes this one thing that you can do the only thing, I'm still going to suggest that there are other ways. But I understand. And if that's you, I'm sorry. I don't know if I can help you or not. And I definitely cannot help anybody who doesn't believe that they can be helped. Or doesn't believe what I'm saying, that there are other opportunities out there. Failure isn't something to be afraid of. It's just learning. That's all it is. It's just an outcome. You just get another outcome. You just get more results. You get more data. By putting yourself in a safe position, you may short circuit your own development as an earner, okay? By trying to take it as safe as you can, you might completely demolish the universe's plan for you to be the next Jeff Bezos. If that's what you want, it may not be. I don't. Life is meant to be lived. Chances are there to be taken. And your mistakes are almost never permanent, except the one that kills you, and then you won't mind because it's all over. Okay? Listen, I don't want to be argumentative on this point, but I have 8 kids, millennials and Gen Z. And I strive to show them that the world is filled with more opportunity than it can ever exhaust in a lifetime, without being greedy, without abusing anybody, and without abusing the planet. So, guys, the next probably 7 episodes of the show that are solo, I've got some interviews, I've got one that's probably going to go up today, are going to be me talking about this. So if you want to learn more, okay, I'm going to tell you that just like a firefly, my glow has been with me from the beginning when I was a tiny egg, a pupa. And now as I am flying, it's even brighter, guys. Listen, we get to a point in life where we get to metamorphose into what it is that we're supposed to be. And you're going to get there. You will. So I'm going to try to tell this as best I can, and I hope that you'll stick with me, and I hope that you'll enjoy it. If you've liked this, please go find me on Anchor, leave me a voice message, favorite my podcast, share it with other people, find me on LinkedIn under Mark R. Morris Jr., and I would love to talk with you, help you with anything that I can. So I hope you have a great day. Thanks. Free tool today is called Contentful.com, and this is an interesting tool. It's something that is the next derivative of what's called a headless CMS, and it will help you to organize all of your content and produce content and publish from a single place. So go check it out, Contentful.com. They give you a pretty good free sampling, and there are some other headless CMS products out there. If you are looking for a way to manage the workflow and publish to more than one platform at a time, you might look into it, because that's what I am working on right now. And I can't offer you too much advice on it yet because I'm just playing around. But if you want to see something cool, go check out contentful.com. You can watch their videos and stuff. You can sign up. You can load some stuff into it and see how it works. And it doesn't cost you anything. They have like an always free plan that will allow most of us, if you're not running a big corporation, to actually create as much as we want. So there it is. I hope you guys have enjoyed my story today, and I will be back with more. And don't forget, guys, when you start doing content online, you got 8 seconds. You got only 8 seconds to catch my attention, to catch anybody's attention. And if you're not doing that, you need to really pay attention to those first 8 seconds and figure out how you're going to spend them. All right. Hey, have a great day, and I'll see you around.